Nancy Pelosi signals a deal on Biden's infrastructure plans this week, but with a damning new report on the effects of climate change, just what is due to be cut? Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us each and every week wherever you find good podcasts at US Event, as well as on Facebook and Twitter. Before we get into the United States this week, I wanted to mention this one, something we've obviously talked a great deal about before, climate change. A new study this week claims at least 85% of the world's population has been affected by adverse weather events due to climate change. This includes crop failures, floods, and heat waves. What does this one say to you, Ed?
It says that the debate's over. The question is implementation. Even here in Australia, the debate is really over. The question is, how do we implement? And there are two aspects of the climate change now, three, I guess. One of them is the destructive nature of the floods and fires. We've all experienced that, smoke, et cetera. The other aspect is health. Look at the number of kids now that have different kinds of immunity breakdowns. Their immune systems can't take this, that, or another thing. Because the air is so bad that asthma and so on is now rife in many communities, even the wealthiest communities. Kids are ill. Older people are suffering. And when you have a disease burden on top of that, it's really bad. The next thing is, of course, industrial production. Industrial production can only go up with robots. Even if you wanted to use more coal, et cetera, you would be so inefficient, it wouldn't be worthwhile. Even 2SER is going to visual broadcasting, so you can see changes are in the works. I don't think we're going to go back to the way we were. I suspect when kids are sick now, all the lessons are going to be taped. And they can just ask for the tape for that day, if you're in the second grade or third grade, and get it and take your lesson at home. That'll allow the parents to be more involved. Well, this is off climate change, but I'm saying everything's gonna be start moving in a different direction. And when my grandmother was alive, great-grandmother was alive, there was no automobile. So a suburb was not even a possibility. Now it is. So I think we're gonna have a new future. And climate change may make things better and not worse. Well, adaptation to climate change, that is.
Speaking of the automobile, hundreds of protesters were in Washington this week demanding an end to fossil fuel use, with one of them, Joy Braun from the Indigenous Environmental Network, saying, how can you say that we are in this climate emergency and at the same time be giving away land for additional oil and gas infrastructure? It's a fair question. How can the Biden government be saying and doing these things simultaneously?
Are you talking about the Biden government or the Australian government?
Well, no.
Or the Indonesian government. Look, we're caught here that the old paradigm is going out. A new one's coming in. And I'm glad the demonstrators are there to make sure the old one goes out faster, but it's not gonna happen overnight. There's gotta be a crossover. That's why this budget's so important, because it allows that crossover to take place. But until then, you have to have oil.
Well, as you say, some of these measures are being addressed in the Biden infrastructure bill. However, with the ongoing battle over the US debt ceiling, Nancy Pelosi has warned Liberal Dems to be prepared to cuts to the $3.5 trillion package. Ed, what's happening?
What we talked about, what, for the last 4 weeks? Now, what's your bet? Is it 2.1, 1.5? We said it was going to happen. The question was the number. The debt ceiling, the Republicans will allow the Democrats to vote for raising it. And the Democrats will simply say, no filibuster here. It's not on. I hope they get used to that so they can use it more often. before the next elections. And I think there'll be no filibuster on that, no filibuster on the Voting Rights Act, and no filibusters allowed on new spending obligations. So I think that, and no filibusters on Supreme Court justices. So I think the filibuster will survive as a circumstantial thing rather than a regular thing.
You mentioned our bets on the numbers, though, in terms of what the number will be. My confusion is less on the number and what will actually be cut, because, okay, we're talking about cutting numbers, but I haven't heard anybody really talk about cutting programs, cutting the actual initiatives in the bill itself.
Well, there are several things that can't be cut. And those are the direct things that help poor families and families in general. There is a part of the bill that gives 2 years of education at a community college to every American. The way you pare that back is do it on a needs basis for families under $200,000 or something like that. That cuts that back. There are other things like for seniors, you do that on a needs basis. So I think there are ways to cut, keep everything the same, but cut the benefit issues down to those who are really in need. Now, clearly people play games, you know, and move their money around and the like, but I think they can do that. And the other way you cut is cut the number of years or expand the number of years, depending on what you're cutting or doing. This is a game we can all play. It's called poker.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, on the number of years, I've heard specifically regarding climate change, again, which we obviously just spoke about, talk of keeping those same programs, but cutting the amount of years that they're budgeted for.
Yeah. So it's like wearing a corset. It always fits.
Ed, on COVID, here in New South Wales, we opened up again this week from an extensive lockdown, with those of us who are double vaxxed able to start resuming some normalcy in our lives. How does it go generally in the States? Anthony Fauci this week saying rates are declining, but COVID not yet under control, and especially with deaths resulting from the Delta strain amongst those that are unvaccinated.
Yeah, interestingly enough here, I think England, Israel, and the United States are about in the same position. The U.S. will probably reach 70. I don't know if we'll reach 80. We'll reach 80 easily here, maybe 90, but COVID will not go away. I think this is an endemic now, and people who don't get the vaccine, like people don't get the flu shots, will get it. The difference is, and it's no longer life-death matter. With the new Merck pill, more people will survive this, but they'll be surviving in very bad condition. So even very healthy people who haven't been vaccinated and they get the Merck pill, they'll go to the hospital, but they come out not the same person. So I think over time, people are going to find ways to get the shot, three ways. One, my employer made me do it. Okay. Two, you go out, they keep them, these places open till midnight, you sneak in, or the drugstore is even a better one. You go to the drugstore for a pack of cigarettes or whatever, you get your shot. Because you want to keep your job, but you're also afraid of Delta. Delta is death. The third way is to have it at your employment location. So I would anticipate that rather than having the teachers go and get their shots, the school nurse will be administering those shots in every school. For the small employers, the clinic down the street will administer those shots. They won't have to do anything. The other thing that, and I found this morning, I went to play tennis. I couldn't go to my coffee shop without my double vax card. So it's serious.
Yes, I've had the same experience myself, you know, when we were finally released.
Well, don't expect me back in the studio soon.
Also on this, vaccine producers have been creating more doses as it's anticipated they're set to roll out for 5 to 11-year-olds in the United States. This is pending FDA approval at the moment. Anything to be learned from the earlier rollouts that will apply here?
There'll be some parents who don't want their children to have it, but I think that's a little different circumstance than with adults. Children are in managed spaces. They're in schools and the like. So as long as those spaces are managed carefully, and children don't get the disease that much, and if their parents are vaxxed, a parent can be a little bit relaxed about their children getting it. You know, the teachers have it. A lot of the kids, 50% of the kids or so have it. At the high school age, though, it's a different matter, where the kids go to work and the like. So I think we're going to see not an anti-vax movement, but a slow vax movement with the children.
And one more thing I find really interesting as a consequence of COVID is the empowerment of the working class in the United States. We've seen more and more companies crying about the lack of workers, and a new report from the US Labor Department this week showed nearly 3% of the total workforce, 4.3 million Americans, quit their jobs in August alone. How do you see this trend playing out, Ed?
A couple of years ago, I guess about a year ago now, we did the Shrinking Middle Class show. And part of that show, you, I believe, mentioned the fact that a lot of these jobs are bad jobs. And people are only doing them because they have to. Now, if you get a child tax credit and you've been working from home, you've probably found some alternative employment. So people are not unemployed. They're elsewhere employed. Driving, all the driving companies. Now, a lot of people are going to continue to have deliveries to their homes. The delivery companies are expanding so fast they can't find enough people. Those are the people who left the taco shops. And they can go to do delivery jobs when they want to. So having this flexibility in your work, people are not unemployed. They don't show up in the U.S. register anymore. They would in Australia, but in the U.S., if you have under 10 hours a week, you never show up. But you're working every day. You may be working 10 hours a day, but on three different jobs, none of which show up on the register. So I think these things are moving, but the really bad jobs, like working in the taco place, working in the hamburger shop, working in some of these fast food cafes and so on, where you're driven, are gone. Working in some warehouse environments, food packing environments and so forth. Those jobs are fading away anyway. Nobody wants their kids to do those jobs. So I don't think there's a mystery that they're gone. I think it'll be 3 years before we see how employment really works out around the world in the developing countries. Because even in Japan, people don't want to go back to those crummy jobs. Even though you get lifetime benefits, the job was so bad, people don't want to go back.
Internationally, and the Wall Street Journal reported this week that around 24 U.S. Special Forces soldiers and an unspecified number of Marines have been training Taiwanese troops since 2020, something sure to upset China, who doesn't even like it when people mention that Taiwan is a place that exists. What do you make of this one, Ed, particularly in light of
the... Now, do you think the Chinese did not know this?
I suspect they've probably got pretty good intelligence on these sort of things.
One would think. That close to the border, one would think. They know what's going on here. The U.S. has a program where any country can apply to send its military to the U.S. training grounds in Quantico and the like. And a lot of bad, bad nations do that. So in this case, this is a good nation. But I think it puts, the Chinese didn't want this in the newspaper. Because it just makes them look bad. but they don't care.
And before we go, the January 6th committee, more and more damning stuff has been coming out recently, like the kind of stuff that should be jaw-dropping, shocking, disgusting in the context of American democracy, except we seem to have become so inured thanks to Trump's behavior. Former Acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen has said in the days before the Capitol attack, Trump opened an Oval Office meeting with complaints that his acting attorney general was not doing anything to help him overturn his election defeat. And it's increasingly clear if Mike Pence and Rosen had done more to help, we might, Ed, our podcast might still be talking about dictator for life Trump right now. Any thoughts?
You just gave my thoughts.
Mm.
It seemed like things were going down that way. But isn't it always a few good people change the course of history?
Mm-hmm.
Mealy, Rosen. The problem with dictatorships in most other countries, the good people get shot before they can act. But even Putin's having a hard time holding it together. You know, his ability to hold all the people down is eroding, and it's eroding everywhere. I think if Trump spins out, and he's more likely to spin out than be put out, that is, that the spin just the dance comes to a halt, people won't give him any more money. The rallies are getting smaller and smaller. These recounts are looking uglier and uglier. He says the same things. Gosh, it sounds like our show. He says the same things over and over again. And if you've heard him recently, it's really incoherent. So he's just trying to keep the money coming in because his empire is collapsing. And if it collapses, there will be another Panzer attack, but basically it'll be over.
I just want to point out as well, Trump has tried to use executive privilege to avoid the turning over of records regarding January 6th, which Biden has overturned. How does that kind of executive privilege fight play out, Ed?
Executive privilege is for the president of the United States. When you're not the president, you don't have any executive privilege.
Yeah.
The thing about Trump is he's gone and asked for First Amendment protection for his rights to be on Twitter. And people had to point out to him, Twitter is not a government agency. Your First Amendment rights only cover government entities. Twitter is not a government entity. So we're dealing with a real genius here.
Well, speaking of which, just before I let you go, Ed, Trump has this morning said, in a bit of a fit of pique over not enough Republicans kind of kissing the ring, that Republicans must resolve his claims about the 2020 election in a matter to his satisfaction, or that Republican, voters, those that still support him, should not vote in the 2022 midterms or in 2024. If he's really going to campaign on this, GOP support of Trump could really be the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, those that are still alive and not died with COVID. Yeah. Yes, I like it. More, please. Sooner the better.
US of Ed is a production of the radio station 2SCR, which this week is hosting our annual Radiothon, turning to you, the listener, and saying, look, if you enjoy the content we put together here as a station, if you believe in the same ideals that we do, we could greatly use your financial support. Go to 2scr.com/support to find out ways you can help, and make sure to tune in next week as Ed and I tackle the latest in US news and current affairs. You can find us also on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.